Hey, welcome back to the Amber May Show. I'm glad you're here with me. I have a great guest. He's running for Congress. His name is Jeff Zink, and he has an incredible experience to share with you today. Something of the supernatural to share with you today. So it's pretty fascinating. So I hope you will like today's episode. We learn about him, we find out why he's even running for Congress, and then we find out about the supernatural experience that he went through. So all that is coming up today on the Amber May Show. Hey, make sure you just go to theambermayshow.com, grab some swag. I got some shirts up there, some cups. And also while you're there, I am really looking for angel investors. If you could donate $5, $10, $20, $100, I'd really appreciate it. All you have to do is hit the donate button right there on the website. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber. That would really help me quite a bit. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Please do that. Like, share, and subscribe. And join me on Telegram. I have more information that I always share on Telegram. And you can find me at The Amber May Show on Telegram. So find me there. Well, up next is Jeff Zink, and you're going to hear his incredible story. I have Jeff Zink with me today. He's running for Congress. Welcome to the program. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Well, thank you, Amber. I'm really glad that we got to meet and catch up in Springfield, Missouri at Mike Lindell's Moment of Truth. It was a lot of fun, and thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah. So tell me about that, because I was invited, but I had a prior engagement, couldn't get out of it. I wanted to go. What was that like? Tell me about it.
Well, one of the things that was really interesting is that all of the information, what came out of this, what came out of this was the fact that we were able to meet with other legislators and other leaders in other states. So Arizona seems to be the point of the spear, but we were able to meet with Texas, Nebraska, Missouri, Georgia. There were probably about 9 or 10 states that was represented that we met outside of the Moment of Truth, and we were able to go, okay, what works? What have you seen with success? And they would talk about some of the success that they've had in their state. They ask a lot of us here in Arizona what we had as far as success. And so it was really interesting to see how this all played out. But then the thing is that being able to have exposure, being able to get out and to talk to the media and to try to clarify and educate a lot of people about what is going on. And that's what's important. We need to educate our population. And the thing is, especially in my case, it's educating the Christian voters so that they vote their faith.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So going back to voting your faith, I totally agree on it. On one hand, this COVID thing was a blessing. On one hand, the stolen election was a blessing. On the other hand, it feels like we're living a nightmare. But at least with a nightmare, like Doug Billings always said, you wake up from a nightmare. So at least we have that on our side. Because I have learned through the COVID vaccine, and you're talking about our faith, that they put aborted fetal cell tissue inside vaccines. And that does not sit well with me, especially because of my faith. And so that alone made me want to stop doing the childhood vaccines. Now going and looking at some more ingredients and thinking about what parents have said in the background, you know, this whole time I've been having children and hearing about these vaccine problems, that one thing made me go back and want to start looking into childhood vaccines. And what I found was horrendous. They don't test to see if they cause cancer. They don't test to see if it changes your genes, and they don't test to see if it causes infertility. What we do know is these vaccines cause neurological issues. It can cause cancer. We've seen it with the childhood cancers, and like formaldehyde is in a lot of the childhood vaccines. Formaldehyde, a cancer-causing ingredient, is in the vaccines we give our kids. I mean, yes, it's not tested, but you see the results of what happens. How come young children are getting cancers? I know two family member two families, not my family, but I know two families, friends of mine, who's had children with childhood cancers. One died, and that wrecked my world. It wrecked obviously their world, you know, it's their child. And to watch these two kids like have to go through treatments, and one made it, one didn't. It's like heartbreaking. So one thing I'd like to see happen is repealing that act from the 1980s where it gave the pharmaceutical companies full immunity from being sued. I would love to see that retracted. And I know you're going to Congress. Is that something that you might be willing to introduce as legislation?
Absolutely. And one of the things that people need to understand, Congress is what makes laws. And so one of the things that we need to understand with that is that if a person wants to change something, then they go to their state legislator. It's then introduced at the state level. Then it goes through the Senate at the state level. And if it rises there, then the House and the Senate start going to the federal representatives at that point, which is a position that I'm running. And then they will then turn around and say, our constituents here in this state would love to have this law. We need to make this there. So then it can be introduced at the national level. And if we have enough states across the United States that agree with that, and we have enough people there, we can then create this and make a law nationwide. However, I always caution about that. And the reason why is this: the federal government needs to get out of health care. It means there doesn't need to be anything that the federal government is involved between the doctor and the patient. And that means whether it's vaccines, whether that's pregnancy, whether that's just a common cold or cancer or anything else, the federal government doesn't need to regulate. Now, what we need to do is we need to sit down and start putting more and more rigid, basically, ideas that will prevent people from rushing vaccines to or whatever it is to market without actually having trials. So whether that is animal trials and then a limited human trial at that point, and then at that point, once it's come in, think about this: polio was something that was really creating a lot of problems and havoc throughout the world. 65 years later, they introduced the polio vaccine. It had gone through so many trials and everything else and had so many different things. And if one of the vaccines prior to when they finally came out with the one that we use, if there was one death that happened with that vaccine, it was then restudied and everything else, and it either modified or just completely scrapped. And they started over, but it took them 65 years before they actually came out and said, we need to do that. And then what do we have today? Polio is eradicated. That is prudent, blind study that is scientifically based. It's not emotional. It's not what I want over anybody else. This is very scientifically based medicine, and it really helped the world eradicate something that was really devastating at the time. And the thing is back in the 40s, you had the iron lungs. We didn't have the respirators that we had today. And so the way that they did it was, there's a person literally laid inside of an iron lung, and it breathed for them like the respirators do today.
It's interesting how things progress over time, but It's good that we have these creative minds to overcome some obstacles, because it was my understanding, since it started at the federal level when Congress passed a law and President Reagan signed into law the ability for these companies, these pharmaceutical companies, not to be sued. I thought that we could start it at the congressional level, but if you're saying we got to start at the local level, then maybe we need to do that, because what's the incentive of them not putting Drano into all of the vaccines? They can't be sued. I mean, if they can put formaldehyde and they can put aluminum and they can put mercury, why wouldn't they put? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I know it's far out there, but I want people to understand, if they can put those kind of poisons, what's stopping them from other poisons that they can put in the body? So that's why I thought maybe we could start going back to where it originally started in the 1980s to Congress. But if locals, where we go, then that's fine with me too. We can start local. So
Well,
what are
and
the
the other thing too is that at the federal level, we can repeal those laws. We can repeal an action that President Reagan actually did. Thing is that what I was talking about is any new laws. But what we can do that's already on the books is we can go back and revisit that and then literally take those off the books. You know, one of the things that President Trump was really good about, and I thought that it was a great idea, is for every new law or new rule that was put in place, what he did was is he said that 3 to 5 old laws had to be taken off the books.
Oh, I like
So,
that.
and the idea is that if this one is so good and it's going to replace, then what is it replacing? And once it replaced it, then those were taken off the books and not there. And what we're trying to do is shrink everything. So when you go to my website, which is jeffzinkforcongress.com, and you go down that first page, that landing page that you land on, you go about 2/3 down the web page, and you're going to come across 15 first day bills. One of the very first bills that I'm introducing is called a pork bill. And that is a bill that they know is going to be passed. And then what they do, Congress does is then they sit down and they have this bill that's this thick anyway. And then they start putting all these other bills inside of it so that all you have is this nice big fat bill that is literally creating problems for the Americans because they don't understand what's taking place.
Is this where it is
And
right here? The top 15 proposed bills right there?
yes, and anybody can go down and they can download them, they can read them. If they think that they could adjust it a little bit or make it better, then by all means email me and with those adjustments and stuff. But the whole idea is that this is what we need to do as representatives, is to actually have that. And so these were some ideas that I came up with. And so with that pork bill, one of the things that I'm going to do is that each bill has to stand alone. They cannot add things in. So then you don't have this statement that Nancy Pelosi made. Well, just sign it, and then we'll find out what's in it. Okay, who does that?
I don't know. That was the most craziest thing I've ever heard. And they went along with it, and the media didn't backlash on her. It's just like, are you serious right now? Your job as a legislator, as someone in Congress, is to know the laws you enact. That's your job. Not let's just vote on it and then figure it out. That's not your job. Okay, I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break. So when I'm walking around my house, I always wear slippers. It's just what I do. And in the wintertime, it's especially needed because it's super cold. And I don't know about you, but bare feet on cold floor just isn't my groove. So let me show you what I do on a regular basis. Okay, so I always buy myself slippers every single Christmas. It's just what I do. And so I got these MyPillow slippers, and they are super comfortable. And I'm not going anywhere else. From now on, I'm going to get all my slippers from mypillow.com/amber, and you can save right now, get the lowest price on slippers and save 40% 20% right now. So you can get yourself some if you want something for Christmas, or you have someone in your family that you want to buy for. So make sure you go to mypillow.com/Amber. Use promo code Amber, save up to 66% off, and get these slippers at the lowest price ever. They're super comfortable. Super comfortable. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. That
was insane. Well, and the other thing too is that the bills are so large that it is impossible for anybody to read through them, and at the end of the time that you've read it, understand what's going on. And the other thing too is that I've got another bill, which is taking out all of the legalese. You know, and everybody goes, oh, you can't do that. No, you can, because our founding fathers, their documents, which you read at, with the Bill of Rights, you have the independence or the documentation that declared our independence. We need to understand that that was not written in a law or legal ease speak. It is somebody where they can sit down. Now, I know it's difficult for Joe Biden because, you know, he says that, you know, the thing, that thing that we, and
you know, the thing, you know, the thing. Yeah, exactly.
And stuff, instead of going, no, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I don't know how more simple that can be. And the great thing about pursuit of happiness, my happiness is going out hunting, fishing, and enjoying wildlife, and just being a part of Arizona, and I am a hunter and stuff. But that may not be your pursuit of happiness. Yours may be something different. The great thing about this is our founding father said that we all do not have to go down the same road. We have different paths, and what makes you happy is something that is up to the individual. Now, the thing is, let's bring in something else that's taking place, which is we have drag queens that are being having story time in schools.
Let me tell you what I just found out. There was a church in Texas who had this drag queen story time. I was dumbfounded. I just found that out today.
Yes. And the thing is that they're grooming our children in schools with having drag queen story time from K through four. And they're asking them questions. We actually have Kate Hoffman here, which is the superintendent of education over Arizona, is now in a lawsuit because of her website. On her own website, children can go to that website. Not only did they put in their name, their address, their age, their, you know, what they do, what their hobbies are, everything that is about that child, what school they go to, everything there. And then they have chat rooms that they can talk to adults about sex. And then if your parents came in, there was a button that they could click real quick, and it would take them out of the chat room into a play type thing that when the parent looks at it, is not aware that they're actually doing anything. And then they can go back to it after the parent has left and stuff. And so now she is actually being sued here in Arizona for grooming children and stuff. And I mean, this needs to be something that people need to look at, because if this is the top person in Arizona over education and they're grooming children, what's actually going on in the classrooms and stuff? And a lot of this was exposed. And like you said, COVID was a blessing because it uncovered the atrocities that was taking place in education that a lot of parents didn't know about at the time.
That's true. It's true. So I want my audience to get to know you a little bit. Tell us about Jeff Zink.
Okay. Well, one of the things is that my background is in sports medicine. I actually got a degree at Midwestern State University. I went to the United States Sports Academy and got a master's degree in exercise physiology and sports medicine. I have worked with several professional athletes and teams. I've also worked with colleges and stuff over this 35-year career that I had. Then I was very fortunate to come here to Phoenix, and I was allowed to teach classes at a Division I university, pre-med, pre-nursing classes. Was able to teach anatomy and physiology, which I can definitely tell you that there's only two sexes. It's male or female. I don't care what you identify with. I was asked the other day and offended everybody in the room when they were going around asking what their pronouns were. And when they got to me, I said, my pronouns are, I don't care.
Yes.
And it really upset the whole group and everything, and they didn't like it. And I said, well, wait, y'all can have your own pronouns. I just don't care what your pronouns are. And I will tell you that it doesn't matter how you dress. If a guy has got a beard and is sitting in a dress, I'm going to say that he is a guy in a dress. My reality, or what is reality, I don't fit the same thing with other people and their reality. They can identify with whatever takes place. But I, one of the things that I taught in anatomy and physiology was something that was very simple. It doesn't matter how a person lived their life. It doesn't matter what they did. When they die and they're on a slab, and I had a male and a female that was, standing in between the two of them, and we were going to be studying the body, all of the organs that were there, and what was functions and what was taking place. The thing is that if we boil it down to where they're just skeletons, there is a quick and easy way to find out whether that skeleton lived as a male or a female. And all it takes is your fist, and you take the pelvis itself intact. And if you can take your fist and you can pass it through the center of that pelvis, that is a female. The males, you cannot. It's too narrow. It's too small. And you cannot pass your fist through that pelvis. And so if nothing is left except for just the hips themselves, then you can determine that. The other thing is that If the hips aren't there, and we have just a small, let's just say the index finger of your pinky, I can take DNA and it will be able to show me whether there are bar bodies. Those bar bodies are only attributed to females.
Males. What's a bar body? Explain that to me. I don't know what that is.
So, it is a specific genetic material that is only given to women. And when God made women and everything else, they have what is called a bar body. Men do not have that. They do not possess that in any part or form of their body. So even as small as an index on your pinky, if I get the DNA or any material there, I can take a look at it, test for bar body, and I can tell that whether that was a male or a female. And then that gives me the idea of what, I'm looking at as far as that individual. So again, God has actually laid down the foundation. Here's something that I always like to tell people when I get into this. Look up laminin, LAMIN, laminin. And one of the things that when you look that up, the Bible tells us that Christ is the foundation of the individual there, and so that are inside of our body. And it's the foundation of our let's see, how do I explain this so that people truly understand what I'm talking about? So one of the things that laminin is that it is a protein that literally holds the cells of our body together. When you take a look at it and you see it, it's the shape of a cross.
Oh, wow.
And
That's cool.
so the cross is
Oh, let
inside.
me see. I think I found it. I think I found it. Let me see if I can share screen.
Okay.
You tell me if this is it.
It's going to be
This it?
LAMININ. Yes, that's laminin right there. And that holds our cells together. And when people need to understand that when God said that He created us and that Christ is the foundation of us, whether you believe in Him or not, the cross is what holds us together.
Wow, that's amazing. And
And
going back to what you said about the human female versus male in a in just the bones alone, I have a friend who is a homicide detective, and he can tell if a if the bones had a fem if a birth, because the way the female's hips will move, it will permanently show if she's ever been pregnant or gave birth. I
correct.
just found that interesting that no matter what, if that woman ever was pregnant, her bones forever will say she was pregnant, had a baby, and so on. I just thought that was very fascinating.
Absolutely. So when in the front, so what happens is that as the pelvis comes into the front, there's a cartilage that is right in the center of both of the pelvises that are there. When they give birth, that actually breaks. And when it breaks, it allows the passage of the child. So when it comes back together and everything else, it forms a scar tissue. And it does that for everyone. So if you've had three children, you will have three marks right there that shows how many children you've had. And so
Wow.
it is very simple in showing whether a person has given birth two children and how many they were and stuff. And again, the thing is that not only that, but here's the other thing too. A part of the curse that was placed on people, okay, men and women, one of the curses that was given is that you will have great pain during childbirth, but you will forget that pain once the child has been born, and you will love that child. And that's the reason why women, on a regular basis, they'll come back and they'll go, well, yeah, there was pain, but I really don't remember that. I just know the joy and the happiness that I had with the child once I saw that baby and stuff. And there's a bond that never separates, until death. I mean, my mom passed away in 2004, and I've been without her this whole time. And there's times that I go, you know what? She's still with me. She's still in my head. I still hear her voice, and stuff. And moms are ones that really are the foundation of the family itself. Well, what is under attack today? The
The
family.
family.
And the thing is that who is at the foremost leading attack is the male. And the reason why is that if they take the male out of the family itself, what happens to the children? They are unruly, they're undisciplined. As
That's
much as
true.
a woman wants to try to discipline her children and everything else, there's something about how the softness of them, the way that they nurture and everything else. But men don't have that. And men don't tolerate a lot of things. And when a man is around a boy, they train up that child. Well, Proverbs tells us that if you train up a child in the way they shall go, they won't depart from it when they're older.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing at that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you wanna lose weight, and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything, a skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com, promo code Amber May, and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss.
I want to tell you about a company that I just fell in love with. So I found Hero Soap Company. What I love about them is we're using it all the time at our house. My husband loves it. We're switching all of our soaps over to Hero Soap Company. But what I love about it is they're local. They're an American-made company, and they're owned by a veteran. And I thought that was so cool. I love to support patriots. So if you want to be like me and get all that harsh chemicals out of your home and use a soap that's actually really healthy for you with great natural ingredients, but also is an American-made product that's owned by a veteran or co-owned by a veteran, then you need to check out Heroes Soap Company / Amber May. And then what's really cool about what they do is they give back to the community and they support veterans and first responders. So everyone's winning in this situation. If you use promo code Amber May, you're saving money. You're supporting a company that's American-made, patriot-owned, that supports other patriots. It's just a win-win for everybody. So Hero Soap Company / Amber May and use promo code Amber May to save some money.
It's because of a mutual friend of ours that I was actually connected with you. Michael, the artist, the commander's artist, he's a friend of yours and he's done some work for you. He's designed the logos on this show. And the commander's artist he's a great guy, isn't he? He speaks very highly of you.
Now, Michael is a terrific American patriot. And if anybody, I hope that you will promote his website and him, he does the artwork that he does is very, very patriotic. And one of my sort of big things with Michael is Michael came into my life through this political persecution journey that my family and I went through. And he stepped up in a big way to help us raise some money for our legal defense. And Michael and I have become very good friends, and he's a terrific, faithful man. And I love him.
Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
What we have is we have absent fathers in the homes, and we wonder why the children run around unruly and because they're part of Satan's domain, because we don't have the male in there, and he is supposed to be head of the household. And the thing is that what's really interesting, I've got a really cool story about my wife and I. See, the thing is that when we met late in life. I was 47 years old. I waited 47 years for the love of my life. And the thing is that she was 44. And when we first started meeting and dating and everything else, she said, "Well, I'm spiritual. I'm not really religious. But that's okay if you are." Well, over time, as we dated and as we started talking and stuff, and then even after we got married, I knew that we were kind of unequally yoked. But one of the things that will help people understand what type of person I am is this. She actually watched me have migraine headaches on a regular basis. And I'm going to stop this story right here, and I'm actually going to go to the headaches, and then I'm going to come right back to where my wife picked up at that point. So 40 years ago, I played college football at Texas Tech University. I was a defensive back. I actually hit a guy that was 6'9", 390 pounds. I was 6'1". I'm no longer 6'1", and about 230 pounds. And we hit helmet to helmet, and I was left with a fractured neck.
Ooh. So
out of that, I was left with headaches. And so the headaches were one that I could tolerate. I've got a pretty high threshold of pain and stuff. And so I was able to go through for 35 years in sports medicine, taking care of others, but nobody could really take care of mine. 9 years ago, I walked into Burroughs ER here in Phoenix, Arizona, with a blood pressure of 248 over 198.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's like stroke level, heart attack level. Yes.
Yes. I should have died that day.
Yeah.
However, God had a plan for me. And so over the next 5 years, none of the neurologists could figure out why my migraines were getting so intense and so frequent that no medicine, no injections, nothing that they did ever touched that. Only thing I got was the headache and the side effects of the medication. Mm. And so I would get off the medication and everything. Well, then what happened was, is that after the 5 years, I was placed 100% disabled. So for 2.5 years, I lived on a couch in bed and paced the floor. On December 24th of 2020, I prayed a different prayer because I've been praying, you know, God, I was on your team. I was teaching at a Christian university. I was a curriculum developer that I was able to talk with kids and other instructors about God. I was a deacon in my church. I was an ordained minister as well. And I was leading people to Christ left and right. And now I'm on the sidelines. I'm literally in bed on a couch and pacing the floor. And that's my life for 2.5 years. So this is the prayer that I prayed that night at 3 o'clock in the morning. Father, I don't want to live this life any longer, but whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will do that. And I will be your faithful servant.
Aww.
And as you're in front of me, Amber, God appeared to me that night at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said, I'm going to break your headaches. I'm going to restore your health. And I'm going to send you to Congress to represent my people.
Now, I got chills and it's making me want to cry. Wow.
Well, I can tell you that wow. I had headaches every day for over 40 years. I can tell you that I have not had a headache since December 24th of 2020. I can tell you that I could barely walk across the living room floor without getting out of breath. I am right now I'm getting a late start because I'm doing your show, but normally I'm out canvassing 6 to 8 hours a day, 6 to 10 miles a day, and my health now has been restored. The only thing that needs to happen is for godly men and women to vote their faith. And that will put me into Congress and I will be their representative. And here's the, and so I stopped that. Now I go back to where my wife was when she started going, you know, she took a course that I actually developed, which is called Christian Worldview. And when you take this, it has all these different things that teach about the Bible and, but it also teaches about other religions and belief systems. And so it's a way for everybody to kind of come into a melting pot so that they can look at from different perspectives what somebody's belief system is. Now, we do know that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is mm-hmm. the truth. He is the life. And so while all these other religions have different forms of, I have to work for it, I have to pay for it, I have to do something, God wasn't sufficient. Christianity is the only one that shows that that we are incapable of saving ourselves.
Right.
So in this, she started asking me questions and we had these very in-depth deal. And she goes, you know, while I've always considered myself a religious person, I've always considered myself somebody that was kind of spiritual. My God is not your God. I want you to introduce me to your God. And I was able to lead my wife to Jesus Christ. And here's the other thing, because I'm an ordained minister, I was allowed to baptize my wife.
That's so cool. And,
the thing is that the bond that my wife and I share now are so strong because when she looked and she watched me walk through these migraines and I never would turn my back, I kept praising God. I was going, I don't care how much pain I'm in. You're still my God. You're still the one that I love. Over that two and a half year period, all of a sudden COVID hit, all of these mandates hit, all of these things. And where was I? I was cocooned and being protected. And I didn't realize at the time that God knew that this was all going to take place and that he wanted me protected. Then when I declared to become a congressional candidate, I am ready to not only share the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone, but the thing is that being emboldened, because here's the thing, I know what Jesus Christ looks like. He was in my room and he healed me.
Like you saw him. You saw Jesus.
Yes.
Tell me what that looked like, because I've God has spoken to me. Like I've heard him speak to me. Not like in the Moses story or when Jesus was getting baptized. But when God speaks to me, it's in my mind, but I know the voice of God. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Like he'll say something to me and I'll know it's him. Or in the shows, sometimes I call them supernatural downloads where he just takes over a whole entire show. And all the, like if I'm especially by myself and I'm like, wow, that's going to be a phenomenal, because God just like took it over. He just like starts downloading all this. It's like, I know what God's voice sounds like. Right. I've never seen him. So tell me that story of you seeing Jesus. Is it like the pictures that we see?
It's not the pictures we see. It's not the Christ that has been made up for on those pictures. It is a Mediterranean Jewish male and that is not white. He's actually darker skinned than I am. And the thing is that.
So he has that olive skin tone, like.
Right. And the thing is that the brightness and the whiteness that was the glory that was coming off of him. And, you know, for me, not able to sit and actually look at him and everything, but he was the one that said, Jeff, I'm going to break your headaches. I'm going to restore your health. And I am going to send you to Congress to represent my people. And at that point, I'm like, Father, I mean, I'm this person that was weak. I mean, you can't imagine how weak I was and what kind of frail position I was in. And then for him to do that, I was like, man, I'm honored and blessed. And so for me to sit down and now tell people and deny him when I've seen him, no, that will never happen. And
were you scared in that moment, or like, what
no,
was that
there
like?
There was a peace that I have a taste of heaven because I wasn't afraid. I wasn't scared. I wasn't anybody, because at that point, one, I had been on literally on my back and just pacing the floor and just in pain for so long that the relief that I got in that instant when I was healed, my headache went away instantly. My body, you know, started, I started having a strength instead of having this weakness that I kept feeling the life of me, you know, fading. It was all of a sudden starting to be restored. And so at that point, and then, and I said, Father, I will be that faithful servant. And for that, he was gone. I mean, it was, he was there and then he was gone. And I went to bed. I got to sleep. That I got 4 hours of sleep was the most time in a row that I had gotten in years, because wow. I was normally sleeping 1 or 2 hours, and the pain would wake me up. And sometimes my wife said that she would watch me and I'd be so tired because I hadn't slept in weeks. And she would watch me doze off, and then the pain would wake me up, and I doze off and the pain would wake me up. And that was the life that I was living. And I don't have that anymore. And so for me, I'm a living miracle and coming in an encounter. And so for that, one of the things that was also told to me was on Tuesdays at midnight Eastern Standard Time, I will be on the congressional floor preaching the word of God that Jesus Christ is the one who died for our sins once and for all, that we will be, I will lead the nation to the foot of the cross every Tuesday as long as I'm a congressman. And it will be on the congressional floor every night. Now, the great thing about it is
Jesus told you that? Jesus said that to you?
That was something that came later. At the time, it was later, because then I started asking, well, what do I do with this? If I'm going to be elected, what do I do with this? And the great thing about this is what I found out as a congressman, I'm a walking document, meaning that when I'm on the congressional floor and I'm at the podium, C-SPAN has to air it, because as a congressman, I'm making live documentation. It's things that are being done. And so for that, C-SPAN will air me preaching the word of God to our nation and the worlds about the good news of what he did. And the thing is that who's doing that today? Who's literally leading people to Christ? We've lost Billy Graham. And Billy was the one that was going around to the nations and talking and everything. We've lost that. And nobody's really stepped in. Well, I'm not going to really step in. But what I am going to do is I'm going to take my faith and the Bible, the Constitution. And the great thing about it is that since I'm in medicine and I understand the human body, I'm also going to take a spine, because I want to introduce the spine to the Republican Party so they'll stand up against the Democrats. I want to take the Bible and restore God's word back into the homes, into businesses, into our courtrooms, into our Congress in Washington, D.C. And then I also want to reintroduce the Constitution, because Washington has definitely lost the Constitution. They have no idea that it's the people that rule this nation, not Washington, D.C. So for that, you're going to be able to see somebody. And so when we look at the differences between Ruben Gallego, who I'm running against, he's been in office for 8 years.
Him and his wife has not done well for Arizona. His wife has destroyed Phoenix. She is a mayor, for those of you who don't know, the mayor of Phoenix, and that city council has destroyed Phoenix. And her husband is a congressman. We don't need him in office.
That's right. Well, and the thing is that the mayor is the ex-wife of Ruben.
Oh, ex-wife. Okay. Well, I knew they were married. So at one point, ex-wife.
They were married at one point, but, Arizona needs to do like Kate Gallego and get rid of Ruben. That's what we need to do. We need to get rid of Ruben as well. But the biggest difference between Ruben and I come down to one basic decision that just happened on Friday. Okay.
Was that the abortion law?
That was the abortion law here in Arizona.
Okay, I need you to answer something for me, because I need to understand what happened. So for those of you who don't know, there was a court ruling and the judge decided to go to an early 1900 law that was before Arizona was a state. Please correct me if I have any of this wrong. What I don't understand is there's a law in the books of Arizona that was recently done where abortions can't happen past 15 weeks. Now, how do you reconcile these two together?
Okay.
And what did I get? Did I miss anything with that?
No. Actually, that was a very good depiction of what took place. So what actually happened was, is that Planned Parenthood put a lawsuit in and a injunction for the 1901 law that's on the books. And it was on the books when Arizona was a territory. It wasn't even a state at that time. The 15-week law that was passed last year by the House and the Senate and was signed by Doug Ducey was after 15 weeks, a child can't be aborted. Now, the thing is that was in direct reference to Roe versus Wade. Okay. States have the right to overrule federal law if it's a state law. And the thing is that federal does not supersede state laws. That's the reason why when I say if you go to the state first, that is a more powerful law than having somebody that is at the federal level, because mm-hmm. The states actually have more power than
right.
the federal.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that since that was in direct response for Roe versus Wade, and Roe versus Wade has now been dismissed by this Supreme Court, that ruling no longer is in effect. So the only thing that is in place in Arizona is the 1901 law, which says that only the life of the mother is when abortion can take place. So if the life of that mother is in danger and you have to choose between the child and the mother, then they will abort the child to save the mother. And that's the only thing in Arizona. Now, the rippling effect that's going to take place is there's already lawsuits that are taking place that they're filing as of today.
Of course.
That it can't be upheld because the state of Arizona was not a state. And that's where they're heading. The problem is that a territory, when it became a state, automatically grandfathered all of the laws that the state had on the books at that time as a territory, will now go into effect as a state. And so they're going to lose in that aspect as well. So the thing is that, you know, they keep saying, you know, well, what about rape and incest? Here's the thing. Rape and incest is the same effect as COVID had on people. And actually, COVID was worse because COVID was 0.07% of death rate for somebody who hadn't had injections and everything else, but just had it. I had it. My wife had it. Several other people that I know had it. We all got well. Where our immune system is a lot stronger for that, and we don't have the adverse effects of the vaccine.
Of the jab. Yep. Yep.
And so when you sit down and you look at that and you go, okay, well, what about rape and incest? Well, that's 0.03% of the pregnancies that happen in the United States. So when we say that, even if we allowed that to happen, that is going to be so rare and infrequent that abortions should not even necessarily be a part of it. Here's the other thing that I want people to understand. Your tax dollars are being utilized for Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood, while they try to say that they're not all about abortion, the thing is that that is exactly what they are. The people that go in there, 99.99% have abortions. What do they do with that? Well, now they take the body parts of that fetus and they break it up. And depending on what age or stage that child is in, then they can do a lot of experiments like the vaccines, the COVID jab that they had. A lot of these things are all utilized and driven by fetal material that is taken out of these abortions.
Also, there are some satanic rituals that happen with abortal fetal tissue as well. So I just want to let that be known as well. So when as a mom, if you're giving up your baby like this, you don't know what they're going to do to your baby's body. And to me, it makes me sick to think about the things that they do with that precious baby. And Jeff, I want to say something about abortions, because there was an ad that went on about ectopic pregnancies. I am a woman who's had two ectopic pregnancies. They say that this law will stop you from being able to save the mother's life because they're calling it an abortion. It's never been an abortion. An ectopic pregnancy is not a viable pregnancy. That means that baby is in the fallopian tube. The fallopian tube does not stretch. That means, because it's happened to me, your fallopian tube will rupture. That means you are on a timer. You will die internally because of internal bleeding if you don't take that care of that, okay? The baby can't live in the fallopian tube, and if it will rupture your fallopian tube, you'll start bleeding out and you will die. You have to have emergency surgery. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not an abortion. The baby will not live. Now, I had two. So one ruptured my fallopian tube. The other, I knew what it was because I already experienced it once before. And when you have one ectopic pregnancy, the chances of you getting a likely one within 2 to 3 years exponentially grows. So I already knew it was going to happen. I was able to catch it before it ruptured my last fallopian tube. They dissolved it with methotrexate, I think, or something like that. And they dissolved the fetal tissue and I was able to live. Now, a mother's heart during this is horrible. Your mother's brain is not thinking rationally, and you're thinking emotionally, and you're thinking, I just killed my own baby. And that's not true, because your baby's already dead. It's not going to live. It can't live in a fallopian tube. It wasn't meant to live there. So you didn't kill your baby, but that in that moment, that's what you're thinking of. That's not true. It's already gone to heaven. Okay. So any mother out there who has ever experienced that will understand what I'm saying. And so that is not an abortion. That will not go under this law. That is a life-saving thing. The baby's already in heaven. And now it's a matter of saving the mom.
Right. And it goes back to that same thing where 0.03% of the females that experience that, and the life of the mother's in danger. Well, the second that it is recognized that an ectopic pregnancy takes place, then that mother's life is in danger. And so therefore it doesn't fall under, and you're right, it doesn't fall under the abortion laws itself there. We're now saving the life of the mother because the fetus is not going to be able to be viable. So the thing is that we look at this, and again, it goes back to common sense, where, you know, women used to also die during childbirth. When's the last time that's taking place? I just had a niece find out, and she started to go into labor, found out that her baby was breached. So they stopped the labor, they turned the child, and now we're waiting for that baby to be delivered because it's now in the right position and everything. And again, women used to die because babies were in a breech position. Now we know that we can turn the child, we can stop the contractions at the time, and we can do all these things medically that we didn't know or do, you know, hundreds of years ago.
That was my story too, Jeff, because I was in labor, and I was in labor for a very long time. I was dilated to a 10. That means the baby's ready to come out, but the baby could not come out of my body. My hip bones were too narrow. I would have been the woman 100 years ago dying of delivery, and my baby would have died too because she couldn't come out and I couldn't deliver. And we were in labor for 14 hours. My doctor finally said, we need to do a C-section. So you're right, Jeff. Like, praise, not that it doesn't happen, because it does. Childbearing is still a very dangerous thing for a woman to go through. But because of the advances in medicine, a woman like me who's had two ectopic pregnancies and babies that can't come out, we were able to have a C-section. Mom's safe, baby safe, everyone was safe. Praise God for that stuff, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the thing is that, again, they say, well, men shouldn't have a choice. You know, it's my body, my choice, and men shouldn't have a say-so. And my argument all along has been, if we are going to go down the rights of it's the mother's body and her choice, then the male should have, well, it's my body, my choice. I choose not to have this, so I'm not financially responsible. But yet they are forced to go through that. There's a whole nother argument that takes place. Here's a great simple solution to all of this. Train up your boys. Train up your girls. Make them responsible. Make sure that we train up our girls to be ladies, mm-hmm. and that they keep their legs closed.
Mm-hmm.
Train up our boys to be respectful of ladies and to treat them in a way so that they always bring that girl back the way that they found her.
Right.
And then when they decide that this is something that they can they can't live without each other, then they get married, and inside the sanctity of marriage, they then have sex, they then have that child, and that the two of them will raise them up in a godly home, mm-hmm. and reestablish what God intended back in with Adam and Eve,
right.
in the Garden of Eden, where the male is going to be the head of that relationship. The female is going to be the nurturing aspect, taking care of the children and the husband, and he's going to be providing for the family. That I've been told I'm a white, old Christian, toxic masculinity, person, and I trigger everybody there. But the thing is that what's funny, when I'm talking to young women now, and I'm going, why are you waiting later and later in life? And they keep saying, because these boys, they don't grow up. They are not the same, And when I just had this happen on Sunday, I had several women that were coming together. They were all waiting. I was with my wife. I opened up the door for my wife. And then I stood there and I waited until all four of the other ladies walked in and everything. And every one of them thanked me for opening the door for them. And they go, you know what? We don't see that kind of, respect, I guess it would be the best word to use. But the respect of women and everything. But that's the way I've got Southern roots. And I am a Southern boy. And the thing is that my father always said, you always open the door up for your mother your wife and everything else. And that's how I was raised.
Jeff, I can't take too much of your time because you've been so generous with me so far and you have work to do. But I want to say what you're talking about is way the God designed the family, and he didn't make it in a dictatorial kind of way where the man is going to beat down his wife and he's the king and no one, that's not the way it's designed. And in the fact, when you read in Ephesians, I think it was Ephesians, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. If you go verse before, it says, submit to one another. Husbands, submit to your wives submit to your husbands. And then he goes into detail about that. And it's not this like dictatorial thing. It's a thing of love. When you come together, you're both sacrificing for one another, especially the man has the greater sacrifice because he's ordered by God to be just like he was to the church, giving himself up to the church, loving the church in such a way. When you do it the way God had designed it, there's so much love that's in there. There's a lot of protection in there. Your kids grow up safe and secure, and society is better for it. It's not this, I'm the man and that's it. It's not like that when you live in the godly realms of marriage. Jeff, it's been a pleasure so much for me to have you on. I'd love to keep having you on. So, if you ever have something to share, email me. I'd love to have you back on. I'd like to see your progression, how you do in Congress. Thank you so much for sharing that amazing story of you seeing Jesus. I mean, I got chills hearing that story. Thank you so much, Jeff, for your time.
Well, thank you so much, Amber, for having me on. And the thing is that if your listeners love what they've heard and would love to see that, then, I always ask three things of everybody that I'm introduced to. The first and foremost is that I need prayer more than anything else. If that's the only thing that you can provide prayer for me. The second is to tell all your friends and family about me. And then the third is to donate. $5 to $10 is all I'm asking. And if I get a million people just to donate $1, I have $1 million in my account. And a grassroots account here goes a very long way of trying to help get materials out, get yard signs out and stuff. All of these are extremely, as soon as they find out that it's political, they double the price or whatever it seems like.
Sure.
And the thing is that they can go to Jeff Zink for Congress /donate and just hit that donate and donate $5 to $10. And it's greatly appreciated. And I do send personal notes back.
Well, thank you, Jeff, so much for your time. And we will definitely have you back on.
All right. I thank you, Amber.
Bye.